This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, with Bishop Dr. Wayne Thomas and Minister Charissia Thomas.
I want you to stand up this time and play it. Jesus.
Man, I made it. You made it. We all made it by nothing but by God's grace. Yes, sir. Am I right there?
Amen.
Amen. It is Bible study. Amen. Thursday night. Bible study. Amen. This is where we scratch our thinking and our faith. Amen. Where we come to open up ourselves to learn about the things of God, to improve and better our lives in the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Tonight's lesson. We have already prayed. Tonight's lesson is coming out of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. The lesson golden text read, walk in wisdom toward them that are without redeeming the time. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. On tonight, we are looking at Colossians. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is the writer. And Paul wrote Colossians, Lady Thomas, during his first Roman imprisonment, together with Philemon, Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians. It's commonly classified as prison epistles. All four epistles share several personal links that warrant this conclusion. Now, the message and purpose of Paul writing to the church at Colossae, Paul wrote to counter the Colossian heresy that he considered an affront to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The false teaching is identified as philosophy. You had a lot of priests and a lot of false teachers using philosophy to woo the folks, to draw them in with man-made concoctions.
Yeah.
Because as I studied philosophy in college, philosophy runs on and is never ending. But how many of us know out here tonight and in radio land, there is an ending with the word of God when God puts a period behind what he's saying? Am I right there?
Come on.
And so on tonight, amen, on tonight, as we look at this book called Colossians contributes to Scripture a high Christology and a presentation of its implication for a believer's conduct. And I'm going to stop right there because we want to look at the title. The title tonight is Live in Light of the Gospel. Now, before we get going, you quite often hear me and other preachers from the pulpit yawn out that it is hard to be a Christian and in circumstances, and yes, it is. But on tonight, Paul scratches our faith. Paul tells us we are saved. We are in Jesus. So we are to learn how to walk in the wisdom of God toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We ought to know how to conduct ourselves as Christians, Lady Thomas, no matter how hard it gets. We have to live in the light of the gospel. Page 48 in your books. And so Paul challenges us in this lesson. The time of this lesson was AD 60. The place was in Rome. And I love this first outline because Paul deals with the relationships with servants. Separating Colossians 4 and 1 from the preceding context is a case where the chapter division, it may not be helpful. Why? Because there was a range of servitude within the Greco-Roman world. Some served as dignitaries, Lady Thomas. Some served as high-ranking servants to their masters, House of Praise. Others were subjected to harsh treatment as object slaves without any rights. Some slaves have preferred the security afforded to them by belonging to their masters. In any case, Paul therefore warned believing masters, here it is, to graciously provide whatever was right and fair.
Yes,
they were to avoid being arbitrary or oppressive. They were also to be impartial in their relationship with them. They needed to recognize that their slaves were human and created in the image of God. They needed to do so because they too had a master. A master in heaven who rules over all, a supreme master. They served the Lord Jesus Christ, so they were to follow his examples. This first part of the lesson, Paul dealt with relationship with servants. He's talking about those in leadership positions. And those who were slave masters, who had slaves working for them, they were to understand whether they were dignitaries, y'all listen to me, whether they were high-ranking servants, no matter their position or their capacity, wherever they were in leadership, amen. They had to understand that although they were over, amen, slaves, they had a master that was over them, and that was God. So we have to be careful not to be oppressive and not to put more burden on our people than our people can bear. Amen. Amen. But this is what we must do. Amen.
Amen.
We must do just that. Amen. When it comes to dealing with our people that's under our leadership. We have to understand that although we are overseer of them, we have one that's overseer of us.
Yes, Lord.
And that's God. Amen. And God is taking notes. And so in here, Paul deals with us walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom. What is that peace, walking in wisdom? Can I help us tonight? Walking in wisdom is Colossians 4 and 5. Paul said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without redeeming the time. What did Paul mean? Paul's final exhortation to the Colossians was that they would use wisdom in their interaction with unbelievers. The phrase redeeming comes from a verb meaning to buy up, as if finding a bargain. Here it conveys the idea of making the most of one's time spent with unbelievers. And so I'm going to back up. So here it conveys the idea of making the most of one's time spent with unbelievers. In other words, we have a lot of people that are spiritually ignorant.
Yes, Lord.
And us that are saved, we say we feel, we say we sanctify, and we say we feel with the Holy Ghost and we're on our way to heaven. Well, on tonight, Paul challenges us, and I challenge us, as I teach this lesson, to come up from where we are and come up a little bit higher. What you mean, Bishop? Live in light of the gospel. Learn how to act as a mature Christian and work with those that are unbelievers. In other words, don't run them from the church, but let your light so shine of Christ that's in you draw them to the house of God.
Yeah.
And when they get here, we need to redeem the time and take our time and teach unbelievers the Bible, the scriptures, the ways of the Lord. That's what Paul is saying tonight to us. He's challenging us to come up and learn how to have proper conduct as true Christians of God. Because after all, that's what we're saying. I hear it everywhere I go. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, take your time and sit down and work with those unbelievers that don't know the Lord.
Amen.
Because we're going to be charged not because they did not stay or they did not accept Christ, but we're going to be charged if we really took time with them and gave them Jesus Christ, an option to choose, which is the best choice, and that best choice is Jesus. Look at Paul. Paul dealt with the relationship with the masters to the servants. Not Paul switches and deal with relationship with the Lord's servants. Look at Colossians 4 and 2. Paul had set high standards, I just told us. Paul is challenging us to come up from where we are to where we need to be in the Lord. Amen. Look what Paul says. Colossian believers, in the previous chapter, first they needed to persistently pray. This type of prayer life should be characterized by watchfulness. We are to stay awake and show spiritual alertness. We need that kind of prayer life in light of the wicked world we live in. We should also be alert to answer prayers and quick to express gratitude for them. We are to have a worshipful attitude toward God as we express our gratitude.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Now, a lot of people, well, put it like this, all of us have issues that we're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
But I'm going to say this, and the reason why people in the pews, some of us, and people of the world are not saved yet, trying to figure out, well, why pastor keep preaching on the same subject? Y'all want to answer that?
Because it's time for a change.
It's time for a change, and because y'all not getting it. That's why. That's why. Yep. When y'all get it, the Lord will remove that subject out of the pastor's spirit and let it move on to another subject. Am I right there?
Uh-huh.
And so we need to have a worshipful attitude toward God as we express our gratitude. I know you, God bless you with a few things, but you're waiting on something else from God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think while you're waiting on God that God is going to give it to you if you have a nasty, stank attitude? Amen.
Amen.
Or do you think God would work with you better if you're thanking for where you already are and what you have, and if you have a worshipful attitude toward Him, God, and then express your gratitude? Amen. So we have to be grateful where the Lord has us and thankful for where he brought us from to where we are. And if we want to go forward, Paul is telling us in the lesson tonight that we have to have a worshipful attitude towards God, and then we have to express that in our worship and gratitude. Amen.
Amen.
Now Paul moves on. Here it is. This will help us tonight in the congregation and in Radio Land. I've been trying to get here. You want something from God. I want something from God. We want something from God. Paul talks about a specific prayer. Y'all ready?
Come on.
It was Paul's desire that the Colossians remember him and his co-workers in their prayers. Uh-oh, it's going to help us. It's going to free us tonight. This is a reminder that our prayers should not be centered on ourselves. Y'all got that?
Mm-hmm.
We should spend much of our prayer time lifting others and their needs to God. So when we need something, want something, or desire something from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says to make our requests known unto God, right? But then Paul is telling us, God is looking at the fact that we ought not be selfish. Others have needs. And we can call others' needs out in prayer because this shows God that we are concerned about others' needs and not only our needs. And when we show God that we're concerned about others' needs, and not only our needs, God will know our prayer is genuine, and he will know we're just not making a request to him for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not being selfish. And so we must pray for others. It is especially important to pray for those in the Lord's work, such as pastors and missionaries. They are constant targets of the evil one. Us pastors and missionaries, evangelists, we need prayer. We need to be covered in prayer because we're getting the word out. We're putting a positive word from the Lord in the airways. And the prince of the air, which is Satan, is angry because he has so much confusion in the airways. But we must continue to press on, even though it's evil in the airways. If we keep on, amen. How many of us know tonight God will put Satan to flight?
Come on. Amen.
Amen. And so, Paul desired that God would open doors of opportunity for him. Now, watch up. Not only Paul, and his co-workers.
Mm.
I'm on the book and page 48 in the book at the bottom. We sometimes use this figure of speech too. Page 49. God can open doors whenever he pleases, House of Praise. And we should be prepared to move ahead. Now I'm gonna stop right there. Matter of fact, I'm gonna underline this because I want to deal with this for a little while. When we are serious, watch up. Let me do it like this. Let me back up. Satan's job is to kill and to steal and to destroy, right?
Amen.
But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they will have life more abundantly. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Amen.
All right. So, when God opens a door, we should be prepared to move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Not continue to find fault in where we error in the other door, or where we faulted, or where we might not have faulted. Just had a little turbulence. And God closed that door, and you open up another door, it's time, like the old folks say where I'm at, to quit yawning
mm-hmm.
over that closed door. God opened a new door. Amen. And the lesson say tonight, we need to get this. When he do open up that door, we should be prepared to move ahead.
Yes, right.
And leave the old door behind. Don't even talk about it no more. Just leave it alone.
That's true.
When God open the door, just go in the door he opened. And then let the other door stay closed. Because Satan's job is to keep up. Well, you think it would have worked if I would have did this. I shouldn't have did that. I should have did this. If I look, God done closed that door. God done opened up another door. And I'm not going back. And I'm going to say it tonight on the radio. I'm not going back to the people in that old door that he done closed. I'm moving ahead.
Yeah,
and whoever moving ahead with me is going to move ahead far with me. And whoever going to stay behind, they're going to stay behind trying to figure out about that closed door God done closed. And I'm going to move ahead with the new door God done opened. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, let me say this too while I'm on the lesson, because I know I'm still in the context by making this statement. First of all, let me bring us back to the title lesson so you won't say the past outside the lesson. Live in the light of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What that means? That means for us Christians to have proper conduct. That means for us Christians to have proper conduct, right?
Amen.
Represent Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I right there?
Amen.
So in saying that, I brought us up to the lesson. So when I make this statement, we won't say on the radio or in the congregation, I'm all blessing tonight, because I'm not. First thing that I'm not going to do anymore. Amen. First thing I'm not going to do anymore.
Uh-huh.
I'm not running behind those or trying to go fellowship with those that think they're more than me. Amen.
They have to tolerate.
Amen.
Amen.
Or think that I have to be around them and they have to tolerate me to be in their vicinity.
Uh-huh.
You're not all of that. Amen. I'm going to fellowship with who want to fellowship with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be bothered with who want to be bothered with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be bothered with who don't want to be bothered with me. And I'm going to keep everybody in prayer.
Yes.
I'm looking for true, authentic fellowship and brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for all of that. I know who I am in God and my accomplishments that the Lord has blessed on my life. And so I bid us tonight, all of us, learn how to live in the light of the gospel and work together with each other, amen, for the common good of the people.
Yeah.
That we all may grow and we all may preach as pastor, whatever your office is, and layman as well. That we all may grow and blossom into what the Lord wants us to be. Is that all right?
Amen.
So although Paul, 49 at the top, still in your book, although Paul was held as a prisoner at that time, he was still looking forward for opportunity to preach the gospel to people around him. I just told us that. He was especially interested in being able to explain the mystery of Christ. He had spoken of this mystery earlier. There he explained that the church made up of both Jews and Gentiles had become a reality because of salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to spread that message. He felt compelled to do so. Now I got to help us. It's coming out now. I heard today. We have some predominantly white churches and pastors that showing their prejudice now. And Paul just told us that the true church of Jesus Christ are made up of Jews and Gentiles. That means the church is made up of some elite people that's in high status, have grandioso education, have plenty of money in the bank. You have some in the church that's poor. And so Jesus, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, want to reach everybody, no matter of your education, no matter of our status, no matter of our money. That doesn't have nothing to do with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's man-made tradition. And so tonight, Paul challenges us that as we plant churches, walk in established churches, that we remember a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of all nationalities, creeds, color, and Gentiles and Jews. But we ought to love all of them and be fair to everyone that make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After all, it's the Lord's church, it's not our church. He's the founder of the church. Amen. Jesus is the bishop of our souls.
Yes, he is.
And so we need to govern ourselves accordingly and let everybody in that want to come. Amen. And teach them the mysteries of Christ, like Paul saying tonight in the lesson. Live in the light of the gospel. Let people know that you are truly a child of God. Amen. Now here it is. Now this is going to help us. Because I know sometimes people get on our last nerves. But we that are mature Christians need to learn how to have relationship with unbelievers. Colossians 4 and 5. When Paul told the Colossian believers they should walk in wisdom, he was emphasizing the importance of a consistently pure life. We dare not let down and fall, for there will always be devastating results, even though at times we will not be aware of them. We can turn unbelievers away from the Lord, and we don't want to do that, right? They already what? Lost. And they need a Savior. And that's not fair to them. We got Jesus, but we don't want to give them Jesus. Amen. So let us not run people from the church, but let our light so shine among men and women that they see the good works of Jesus Christ in our lives, that it will draw them to the Lord's church. Once again, we realize the importance of a good prayer life. We must realize our dependence on Him that we are to succeed at keeping such a high standard. This is what we don't know. I was talking to one of my cousins yesterday, and we say we don't know when Jesus will come back. So we as family need to call each other on the phone, tell each other we love each other, spend time with one another, with our loved ones, spend time, try to convince the people that we went to school with that we know that we don't know. It's time to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
You've been listening to the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church at 8 Prospect Street in Alexandria, with Dr. Bishop Wayne Thomas and Minister Sharisha Thomas. To correspond with them, 318-730-9788. And tune in next time for the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Worship you, Lord. We thank you, God. Lord, we praise you. We lift your name. For you alone are